This is Top Turnbuckle here on Sportsnet590.ca. Rob Wong, David Alter, Rudy Blair, and Jeff Rahoman over the phone, boys. We are just a couple of days away from Extreme Rules, which will be taking place in Chicago, Illinois. We'll get to our picks later in the show as David is putting up his title up for grabs on the line.
I'm glad that I got the acknowledgement that I am the champ.
After winning the inaugural Top Turnbuckle belts with his WrestleMania selections.
Are you actually giving him this title?
He had the belt last week.
Yeah, he rode on the belt.
Right, but it was his belt last week.
It was his belt.
Well, as I said before,
the David Alter Championship.
At least we know that he is not the DVD champion, as I am, and he's not a future Hall of Famer, which, of course, by Hall of Fame induction, my induction, which is coming up May 17th, so I will be a Hall of Famer.
Get your tickets now.
Yeah, better get your tickets.
I already got my tickets. Jeff bought my tickets.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Humber College, make sure you go on their website.
Heck out of you.
Yeah, we're going to heckle you.
That's okay.
Yes. Rudy's going to come up. Yes.
Still a Hall of Famer. That's the important thing. Hey, did I mention, too, Roberto Alomar is following me on Twitter now?
No. That's my fault, actually, because I told Rudy that Robbie Alomar tweeted at the 680 account and was referencing Rudy.
Yes.
So,
and he's following me now.
Look at that.
Yeah. There you go. I think the show's done.
The resume just continues to grow.
Yes,
all
it
right.
Does.
Let's get into some wrestling talk and some breaking news. The WWE has announced that Rey Mysterio, a.k.a. Oscar Gutierrez... That's what they say in the press release. The WWE has suspended Oscar Gutierrez, in brackets Rey Mysterio, for 60 days, effective today, for his second violation of the company's policy. And since, Jeff, you brought it up to us before the show started, let's get your thoughts on Rey Mysterio getting a slap on the wrist, effectively. Just 60 days. I mean, we see this all the time. But for a guy that's always injured and really hasn't been on TV for a long time, and his WWE career, for the most part, has... there's been some good parts, but for most of it, it's been a pretty big disappointment. What are your thoughts on Rey Mysterio getting suspended for 60 days?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the dude, at all three of them, it's no surprise that, you know, he's failing drug tests. When you look at how jacked he is, a guy that's 5'3 should not look the way he does naturally. I'm not surprised that he only got 60 days. I would imagine that he's probably one of the bigger merchandise sellers with, you know, the masks that they can sell and whatnot. So I'm sure he makes money for the company, and it's a guy that, you know, they don't really want to lose. They don't really want to release outright. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, a third strike and he's out. So he's got to be careful.
No, I just made the point that I think it's been a big disappointment. Do you guys think that Rey Mysterio has had a less than stellar career so far in the WWE? I mean, when I think of Rey Mysterio, I think of his WCW days, even when, you know, he didn't have the mask. But, I mean, I loved his WCW days.
I thought his early WWE days were fantastic. When he would come out and he actually was athletic enough to do the jump when he had the springboard intro. I thought that was...
Until the knee injuries, yeah.
Yeah, all the knee injuries kind of put an end to that, but... I thought, you know, he brought an element to the WWE that they didn't have in terms of the cruiserweight division, although it's not called that anymore, and more high-flying stuff that was high risk but safe at the same time, in the sense that it's trained professionals who are doing it, and you weren't just throwing in a cruiserweight because he's small. I think he brought respectability to that class, so I don't think it's a disappointment. What's happened afterwards with the injuries and not being able to come back and showing up less often than The Undertaker, I think that's probably the biggest disappointment.
And it seems like, Rudy, they've never been able to give him a proper matchup. Like Dave mentioned, the cruiserweight division, he'd be taking on guys like Juventud Guerrera or Dean Malenko, or Chris Benoit. I mean, guys that are his size can do those kind of things, but they've been matching him up against these bigger guys in the WWE, and it just really hasn't translated, I don't think.
Which I don't have a problem with. I mean, there was one point where I really considered him, pound for pound, the best wrestler in the business because of what he could do. But we're talking a younger 10 years ago wrestler. Now, with all the injuries that he's done, plus, and yeah, my friend, you mentioned it perfectly, so jacked up. Because of his size and because of the injuries, he can barely do what he was able to do. I mean, if you've noticed some of the, he used to do some fantastic moves off the top ropes. And, you know, it was almost to a point where you thought he could run on top of the ropes from corner to the corner and corner. Now it's really been simplified because, you know, the injuries are there. So he's not as exciting. And because of that, when you put him up against bigger guys, it's not believable that he could win. Before, because he was so quick and you're always looking for that, you know, that quick moment that he would win. Now, no, he's a lot slower. He's a lot older. The moves aren't there. So personally, I think they should let him go because as talented as he is, he's not as talented as they need him to be.
Jeff, do you think that might be a case that we see very soon with the injuries and now the 60-day suspension? I mean, you know, Alter mentioned it that, you know, he's still selling a lot of merchandise with the masks. I mean, does the WWE just hold on to him for now, wait till he comes back from injury and go from there?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, this is sort of the Triple H situation where Triple H used to get himself into because he was so jacked up on all those drugs that he would keep hurting himself because his muscles were so stretched out. I don't know. I could go either way on whether or not the WWE would release him. I think they probably would keep him around. Why not? I mean, he still has a big enough name. He's still sort of like, you know, we talk all the time about their lack of depth as far as, you know, main eventers go. And I think he's a solid main eventer, you know. He's still a good worker. He's just not, you know, living up to the standards, that the high standards that he used to set in WCW. So, I mean, provided, you know, he doesn't start, you know, failing more drug tests and whatnot, and, you know, he can probably get his injuries back on track, I think they probably keep him around. But, you know what, I could see them releasing him if he starts, you know, if he fails another drug test.
And here's the thing, too. When we are talking about steroids, when you are injured while you're on this drug, you never heal properly. It will never happen, and it gets worse and worse all the time. So right now, because of age, because of the injuries, because of the type of moves that he likes to do that he's not able to do, and then trying to do those again, honestly, I think he's on a downhill slide that I don't think he's ever really going to be able to come out of.
I think he's safe until one of their other Latino wrestlers, like whether it's one of the tag team guys, really builds himself up to a star.
We need it. We need it.
Well, we need it, and I think they need it as a brand. Rey Mysterio is, without a shadow of a doubt, their biggest in that demographic right now star, the biggest star there. And when you take him away, there isn't anyone who's taken that mantle. And I think for that reason alone, he may be safe and given this third chance.
But the thing is, though, too, as you've been noticing now, the WWE is now in that mode of we need new stars. How many times can we see certain wrestlers wrestling against each other? It is getting boring. They need new stars, and they need more stars in that Rey Mysterio type of mold. So I think it's about this point in time where we got to sweep things out. I mean, I give Vince McMahon credit for the fact that, you know, he realized he was getting older. The Gray was there. He stepped away from the spotlight, and now he's got John Laurinaitis, you know, as the bad boy for the company. Smart move. Everything else is going to have to be the same thing. You're going to eventually start seeing the Big Show. He's going to be moved out. The Undertaker, I think this is probably going to be his last year. It's time. And Triple H, give him credit. He comes back in, but he steps away again. It's time to move a lot of these guys out and bring in the new blood.
I guess, like they said at WrestleMania, it's the end of an era for a lot of these guys, and we may be seeing it soon.
Never before and never again.
We may be seeing the end of Rey Mysterio very soon. Let's move on to Monday Night Raw now. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people tell me that it was awful. And I watched it, and it was such a mixed bag of good things and bad things.
They
and just
could have done it a regular 2 hours.
Yeah, it was a three-hour show. Way too long. Just a lot of weird things going on. And with that, I guess I'll just jump all over the place. So sure. We'll get to all the good stuff with the Brock Lesnar and things like that. So let's start with the Divas title match, Rudy.
Why?
That's what you want to say.
I want to start with this.
Why?
Only because I didn't see it on Monday. I PVR'd it, and I watched it the next day.
And you fast-forward, right?
Well, I saw on Twitter people talking about Beth Phoenix's injury.
It was really good. She pulled it really well.
And I didn't see it. So I'm seeing people talking about her injury, saying she twisted her ankle. It looked like a severe injury. She may be out for a while. And I'm thinking, oh, this is terrible for the Divas division. Then I find out, looking on the internet, that she basically just sold it really, really well. And people really bought it. But it's part of the storyline, apparently, because, of course, Nikki Bella won the title in the match. And then it's going to eventually set up possibly for Karma's return. Right. And then this Beth Phoenix and her are going to square off. But
when you watch it, I think the reason why it was done so well and may have been inadvertent is because when she actually landed onto the mat, she slipped. And the leg actually did look like it took a bit of an awkward.
I don't care. I don't know why we are talking about the Divas.
Hey, I don't guide the ship. I just go where I'm told.
The Divas division sucks. Nobody cares about them. I will say it again. In TNA, they have the better female wrestlers than they do in the WWE. No, you know what? Beth Phoenix. Okay, let me tell you something. Beth Phoenix, I do agree with you. She is a great wrestler, which is why I feel so bad that she's got to deal with what is underneath her. And I do truly say it as underneath her, because they're just models and cheerleaders who have no reason to be in the ring except being, quote-unquote, TNA. That's it.
And Jeff, I guess the saving grace for Rudy will be that eventually it looks like Beth Phoenix will take on Karma in somewhat of a decent women's title match. I said women's. Sorry, I didn't see Divas, Rudy. But Nikki Bella, the Bella Twins, there's been reports out there, Jeff, that their contract may be coming up soon. Is this one of the things? Maybe they just reward them for all the work that they've done as they push them out the door?
Yeah, either that or they're leaving so they can get squashed by Karma in, 30 seconds. I do want to touch on Beth Phoenix. I thought there was a nice little, the thing that sold it for me was that after the match, she started unlacing her boot, like she was trying to get it off, like it was a legit injury. So I thought that was a really cool, little, aspect to selling that injury. But, like Rudy says, I mean, whatever, if Karma gets the title, good for her, and then we can get, one good, women's match. But, I thought the injury sell was fantastic on Beth Phoenix's part. But, other than that, I don't really care.
Well, there you go. Well, she wanted to do the injury sell even better. She could have done a Wade Barrett and just like slammed the mat and yelled expletives on live television. That would have been fantastic. Let's move on.
Thank you.
To the random appearance by Paul Bearer. Of course,
I can't believe that.
Remember 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, it was Bob Orton face down on the ground as Kane was beating up Randy's dad. And then Randy tries to return the favor on Monday Night Raw as he's got Paul Bearer tied up in a wheelchair and shoves him like into a meat locker, trying to tempt Kane to come backstage. But Kane says, he doesn't really care for Paul Bearer. His father, he is the devil and all that stuff. I mean, like I said off the top, this Raw was just so weird and just random appearances.
It was, which is why I don't know why you didn't want to talk about Rudy Blair's best friend, Edge.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting
there. Yeah,
we're
getting there.
We're getting
there.
You
mean my DVD partner?
Oh,
the fact
brother.
Of... Yes.
But
one of the greatest DVDs ever released. Thank you very much.
But as far as these random... But as far as these random appearances, I mean, with Paul Bearer, Bob Orton face down on the ground, I mean, this Kane, Randy Orton, it's almost getting to the point where it's like Punk and Jericho. It's just so ridiculous it's making it stupid.
Here's where my problem comes in, okay? Because what the WWE keeps bringing in, I mean, all these guys are working for the WWE, Paul Bearer and a lot of all these guys. So whenever they do, like, for example, when they did, what was it, the last one with the oldie guys coming back, it's the same guys all the time. So they keep trying to tie in these storylines, and it's like this watching the same wrestlers. There is nothing new, nothing fresh. There were a million wrestlers have gone through the WWE. Bring some guys back. And I got to throw this out very quickly. I know I'm going off topic, but I'm sorry. Somebody get Vince McMahon and Bruno Sammartino together, because if you really want to see something spectacular, Bruno Sammartino coming back to the WWE. Those are the kind of things that I want to start seeing. None of this nonsense about Paul Bearer, being thrown off or whatever. And I don't care. Bring something back that it's going to make some kind of interest. Bring back some real history. That's going to make a difference.
So you're saying you don't want to see Randy Orton and Bob Orton versus Paul Bearer?
Thank you very much.
Jeff, what do you think?
You don't want to see
no.
Jeff. I don't know if you're on WWE.com. Paul Bearer's got hypothermia from reading stuff in the middle. So I'm concerned about him. I'm very upset about this. Weird situations where, I thought it was funny because I think we all sort of forgot that Paul Bearer, storyline purposes, was Kane's dad. But it was so weird. I was working at the Fan that night, so I missed Randy Orton putting him in, but I came back to see Kane sort of taking him out of the meat locker, and I wasn't really sure what was happening. But I like Rudy's point that they just bring back the same guys. It seems like Sergeant Slaughter is like their go-to legend. We can get some other guys. I mean, they have such a vast alumni program with the WWE that they could bring back anyone. And Iron Sheik, bring him back.
Yes.
What about Pat Patterson? We haven't seen him in a while.
Oh, God, no, please. No more Pat Patterson.
And Briscoe, yeah. Patterson, Briscoe. Speaking of, you know,
Stooges.
Really, really stupid vignettes and promos, we go from the pallbearer thing to the field sobriety test between CM Punk getting the field sobriety test. John Laurinaitis or Chris Jericho telling John Laurinaitis that they should give Punk a field sobriety test because Jericho saw him in the back having some Jack Daniels and saying, you know, if he's not able to be sober, I guess there's something in the WWE that allows them to change the title. Chris Jericho gets the title. So they send Punk out to the ring. There's like a line drawn in the middle of the ring. He has to walk down the line. He has to say the alphabet backwards. And the fact, if this was a 2-hour show, it wouldn't have taken this long. But since it was a 3-hour show, this promo went like 10 minutes way too long.
Ridiculous.
Could have got an actual breathalyzer there.
That would have been much easier. But obviously, CM Punk fakes it. He's not really drunk.
You know, my favorite thing about this whole angle was the fact that they found a purpose for Alex Riley.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy. Oh, my God.
I think it was just the lackey to tell Jericho that I see CM Punk drinking in his locker room with that basket of alcohol you gave him.
Poor guy.
And other than that, there was nothing of interest to come from that whole thing. You can tell just based on the angle that he wasn't really drinking. It's a red cup and the bottle is sealed. And I don't know. There was a lot of ridiculousness.
And I don't want to make this, you know, this show every week, the CM Punk, Chris Jericho bashing show.
But it is.
It's getting just absolutely ridiculous. But
do it and keep it until they change it.
Yeah.
Jeff.
It was, I don't even know where to start on the ridiculousness of it. First of all, like 10 minutes, way too long. We all knew that eventually it was going to get to the point that Punk was faking being drunk. I don't know why it took him, you know, 8 tries to walk the line to get there. I mean, we knew it was coming. It just way too long. And what is this rule that if he's drunk, he forfeits the title? And why does Jericho get the title? Why isn't it vacated? Like, why is Jericho the guy that gets the title because CM Punk had a drink?
CM Punk only got a drink? There was one thing, though. Even though Jericho assumed he'd get the title, Laurinaitis nor Teddy Long ever said, we will give you the title, even though Jericho kept demanding it. They said they would strip CM Punk of the title, but it would never give Jericho the satisfaction. And yeah, I'm trying to legitimize this angle. but they never actually said it, which, you know, poor Teddy Long, too, because I kind of like this character, but I kind of feel bad for him.
You know what? I'm excited for Sunday because finally this feud will just end and maybe they will beat some sense into each other.
I thought it was going to end the WrestleMania, so be careful.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Anybody who is a real wrestling fan knows half the time when those guys go into the ring, they're drunk. So they're drinking, they're smoking, they're doing some other things they shouldn't be doing. And, you know, to come out and start going, oh, well, he's the only guy doing this. Come on, give me a break. Again, it's so unbelievable. It gets worse and worse all the time. I agree with you, man. Just end this thing. Light somebody with a match, something. I don't know. I don't care. Just let's move on. You know what? I would rather watch the Divas than this. That's how bad this is.
It was. If you're not allowed to drink, how the hell did Scott Hall win the Intercontinental title?
There you go. Exactly.
All right. The one thing I will say about Chris Jericho this week, though, and it was, for me, it was actually the highlight of Raw. His match against Kofi Kingston was awesome. I mean, it reminded me of, like, WCW Cruiserweight Division. I mean, these guys were flying all over the place. It was a fantastic wrestling match. Probably the best all night.
No, but here's the problem. It was because all the other matches were so bad, that one ended up looking good. Now, if it was on some really good card, that would just be like a so-and-so. That's how bad the wrestling is becoming in the WWE.
Good point.
I think that's a good match for a TV event.
Yeah, but one...
To do something with Kofi Kingston ever since he lost the accent. The whole
character. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he was from Jamaica. Then he was from Ghana. Yeah.
Well, he was originally from Ghana. Then they slapped a Jamaican accent on him. Yeah. And then he got rid of it.
Yeah.
Poor Booker T in the pay-per-view mentioned that he was talking like he was Jamaican.
Yeah.
And Michael Cole steps in and says... He's actually from Ghana. Way to keep up with the time. Down for an angle that they created, which was awesome. And then there was also, there were a few bad things. This whole Raw was, let's just get to the best of Raw.
I think
we should just get to the best of Raw, which was clearly Edge coming in.
Yes.
Talking some sense into John Cena. And I think Edge was speaking for a lot of people when he was just talking to John Cena, saying this is just not a good John Cena right now. And I think he was speaking for a lot of the haters of John Cena as well. That are just... sick and tired, just like me, of this whole character right now. Where he is.
By the way, did I mention that Edge emailed me? He may be coming to my Hall of Fame induction.
Jeff, your thoughts on Edge's promo?
No, it is true. I will show you the email. It is absolutely true. Hey, I tell the truth. I never lie. He may be coming to the induction. So there you go, man.
You know, someone told me that Rudy's in his DVD. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Someone told me he's a Hall of Famer, not once, but twice.
Three times.
It was great to see Edge, and I thought it was a fantastic promo, but there were parts in it I was sort of like, and I just kind of kept lapsing out of it. I'm like, why is Edge out here? Like, why? Like, I couldn't think of anybody else that could maybe come out and try to talk some sense into John Cena. And I like the points where Edge mentioned all the, like, he's his biggest rival. They carried the company, you know, during those 8 years when The Rock and Brock Lesnar were gone. But I don't know. It just felt kind of weird. I'm not sure. I can't think of a better term to put there. But it just felt like, not forced or anything, but I just felt maybe there could have been a better person to come out and do it. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, when I think about Edge and John Cena, I don't really have that connection where they were sort of, you know, rivals where Edge would really want to push John Cena to get back to that level. I do like that they used Edge. I thought his intensity was fantastic. And it's a smart idea to use him as a personality on television if he can't wrestle, because he still can talk. You know, he still has a name. He has the credentials to be, you know, around. So I thought that was a good use of Edge. But I think the problem was that, to me, there's no real connection between John Cena and Edge. I know they were the top guys for a while, but when I think back, you know, I don't really think back on, you know, a memorable feud that they really had that really stood out. So I like the use of Edge. I like the intensity of his promo, but you're right. I wonder if, you know, he wasn't the right guy to sort of, you know, smack some sense into John Cena.
Rudy.
Well, I mean, the only real connection they had was when he got thrown into the river. Yeah,
oh,
that was probably the only thing. And Edge actually says, too, he didn't realize how polluted that water was. And when he got pulled out by the mariners or cops or whoever it was, they all had wetsuits on. And he was like, why are you guys dressed the way you are? Because that's polluted. And he actually got sick for a couple of weeks because of that. But, yeah, there is no real connection between the two of them. But what you said was absolutely correct, my friend, when you said intensity. If there's anything that the WWE is missing right now, it's real intensity. There is nobody there right now. I mean, The Rock kind of brought that in when he returned, and then The Rock is gone. Now they got Brock Lesnar in there, but I don't really feel that kind of intensity is from the from Brock Lesnar. It's not as real as they want this to be, and I think that intensity is so lost. And as we keep talking about over and over again about John Cena, John Cena just seems to, you know, where he should be mad, he's not mad. And when he shouldn't be mad, he is mad. So you kind of just lose the whole character.
I can't stand the character. And over the last couple months, his character has been more infuriating with the day that someone like Edge, I don't care who it was, but Edge brought that intensity in there, had to go in there and just tell it and just take it to him verbally. And I think it worked.
See, and now for folks who are listening to this whole thing, don't get me wrong when I say this. I'm not saying going out there to do this to other people or whatever. I'm just talking about in the premises of the storyline in wrestling. When I watched wrestling when I was younger, like I remember when Ric Flair got attacked. The very next week he came out with a baseball bat looking for the guys, and they did not show up to that wrestling show. Those are the kind of things that I want to see because, again, we know it's all acting. We know that it's not real. But the fact that you had this wrestler who was so angry because of the way he was attacked coming back out the next week with a baseball bat saying, I'm going after these guys, and these guys were so scared they didn't show up, there was something that I could follow. With John Cena, with all the things that have happened to him, I'm sorry, man. I would have had a baseball bat. I would have had brass knuckles. I would have had an army waiting. Those are the kind of things that I'm missing.
Applauding guys. Edge was his big rival, but as soon as Edge comes into the ring, he just... I wish this was on video that I can display, but he just gives that kind of hand point and the grin that he's surprised that oh, well, he's here. Yeah, look, give it up for him. Like, even though he's surprised. And it just, this Cena reaction is just infuriating.
Well, to Rudy's point, I mean, John Cena wore a T-shirt for who knows how long called "Rise," said "Rise Above Hate" on it. So he's not going to bring himself down to that level where he's beating up guys, you know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? And again, I know this is all like he's a walking billboard. You know, everything he wears, it's all about selling merchandise. man, oh, man, I wish we can just go back to guys who were just out there wrestling and you wanted to follow him because of what he was doing, not because of what he was wearing or this and that or whatever. I mean, it reminds me back in the days of the Road Warriors. When the Road Warriors came out, I mean, you were looking for anything that you could find that they wore, but it was part of what they had, not something that was made in some office and saying, put this on so we can sell these. Big difference.
I do like, we should point out the fact that, you know, when John Cena came back out, he was wearing the old school chain with the lock. So
yes,
the turn might be starting. I'm sure it's going to be a slow turn, but, you know, it's starting. So good on the Edge segment to sort of, you know, set that in motion.
And I think the other part that bothers me about this segment is, I don't think a lot of us, we'll make our picks later, obviously, but I don't think a lot of us are going to be picking John Cena to win this match because, you know, Brock Lesnar, they want to start building him up and he needs a victory in this first match to really get the train moving. I just find it weird that, you know, they're trying to build up John Cena, like Edge is coming to wake John Cena up so John Cena, you know, can be some sort of formidable opponent against Brock Lesnar. But I don't think anybody thinks he's going to win. So I find it kind of weird that they're doing this to build John Cena up, even though a lot of people know he's going to get squashed.
I was going to say, not only that he's not going to win, that he's scared.
Right.
I mean, wow. Talk about throwing that in your face. You're scared of your opponent. When was the last time you heard that? Usually it's the bad guy that would be, you know, afraid or, you know, show that fear or whatever. But you've got a guy who's supposed to be on John Cena's level and he's afraid? Yeah, that's not good, man.
All right, let's move on to that final segment that Jeff was referencing. And, of course, it was the contract signing. It was supposed to happen at the beginning of the show, but Brock Lesnar didn't show up to the event. That's what they said anyways, on time. So John Cena was out there waiting for him.
Oh, before you get to that.
Yeah.
Poor Josh Matthews.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I was going to say. Jeff, if you're legitimately concerned over one of the other injuries, then I'm hoping that you're saying a prayer or two for Josh Matthews.
Yeah, absolutely. He was in rough shape. Full body stretcher cast thing. Yeah, it was tough to watch.
He got thrown into a sheet. On a stretcher. That's my favorite thing.
This guy used to be on Tough Enough. So the fact that he, you know, can't take bumps anymore now that he's holding a microphone, I find kind of ridiculous.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly. So that final segment was the contract signing. Brock Lesnar eventually shows up. And like I mentioned off the top, this Raw was so bad. And Brock Lesnar, it looked like he was getting better on the mic, but he can't even read off a sheet of paper as he whips out a piece of paper that has all these demands that he wants to John Laurinaitis to make before he wrestles Sunday. He wants to basically call all the shots. He wants Vince McMahon's private jet. He wants a raise, basically all these crazy demands. But
Raw featuring Brock Lesnar.
Raw starring Brock Lesnar. Like all these crazy, crazy things that he wants to be the face of the company. Rudy?
No, I got to jump in here. And this is where if he had a manager, it would have taken this up to another level because, as you said, he could barely read what he needed to read. He could barely say what he needed to say. All those pauses, and I was like, what am I supposed to say again? I wish the camera was on John Laurinaitis because you could probably tell he was probably like, you're supposed to say this. Say it.
It was words with him.
Exactly, because it was just so bad. I'm sorry. Brock Lesnar needs a manager.
Paul Heyman,
bring back Paul Heyman. Pay him whatever he wants because Heyman's a talker. He can take bumps. He's great. I would love to have him back. Just cut his hair. That rat nest thing he's got on his head, though.
So Laurinaitis eventually agrees to the terms. Lesnar thanks him. And then just as he's about to sign the contract, John Cena's music hit. He comes out with that chain that Jeff was talking about, the old school John Cena chain. They square off in the ring. John Cena wraps it around his hands like he's about to let one fly onto Brock Lesnar. Brock's kissing the fist, getting ready to go at him too. And then John Cena, you know, eventually signs the contract. Brock Lesnar's like chirping him. John Cena throws the contract at him, of all things, and Brock Lesnar loses it because there's three sheets of paper were thrown at him. They end up staring each other down. Brock Lesnar flips the table at John, sort of tries to make him flinch, and then Lesnar leaves, and that's the end of Raw. But, I mean, like Rudy was saying before, I mean, John Cena looks scared, and I don't know if that's why they're trying to build up, like it's David versus Goliath, but John Cena is, you know, the man. He's supposed to be the man, and the fact that he's afraid of this guy who hasn't wrestled in 8 years, I mean, we're talking about the believability of this. I mean, John Cena, he's not supposed to be afraid, Dave.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be, but I think they're building exactly to what needs to be done, which is either put him on a losing streak that's just going to send him off, or you can have him win, and then that kind of extends the feud a little bit where Brock gets his revenge and he destroys him in a one-sided match, and then they move on, and then they make the turn that way. I don't know. It's tough to say. I have the strange suspicion. We haven't gotten the predictions yet, but I have a strange suspicion that John Cena is going to win this match. I don't know why.
I was going to say the same thing.
Win this match only because I think by Cena winning this match, they're able to not do this Raw is Brock Lesnar, this whole Brock Lesnar-oriented show. Because if he's not going to be around for every week, that does not make sense what they were planning.
Jeff?
First of all, I can't help but giggle every time Alter gets infuriated. I don't know what it is about him getting frustrated, but it just brings a smile to my face.
Scott Douglas used to work here says, I have this one particular thing when I get infuriated where I put my forehead to my hand, just nod. And that's like my sign of frustration. So you're doing Scott Douglas proud.
I like what they're doing. I mean, you're right when you say that, you know, John Cena should be the man and he shouldn't be afraid, but I think it just sort of adds to the build of Brock Lesnar that, you know, this guy who is supposed to be the man is a little bit timid, and it just adds to sort of the monster that Brock Lesnar is. I mean, I really like that they're playing up that he was a UFC champion, so he's coming across as, you know, a legit fighter, someone who can kick some major ass. So I do like that aspect of it. If you look at it from that perspective, I think that it builds Brock a little bit more. Come match time, I'm sure John Cena will be, you know, he'll come right at him. But I think the way they're trying to turn John Cena in, and this, I mean, they got to do something. They can't, even though we all sort of assume that Brock's going to win, they can't just, you know, give up on the storyline because everyone believes that Brock's going to win. They've got to do something. And I guess this is their go-to idea to have, you know, John Cena a little bit timid and sort of, you know, starting to go back to his old school roots. But I just like the fact that it sort of builds Brock up a bit more.
I was going to say, did you see those vignettes that they had where, when Brock was at WrestleMania, he was wrestling with, what's his name? Olympic gold medalist.
Kurt Angle.
And yeah, they had him, like, just dominating Angle. And I kept sitting there going, where's the somersault where he kills himself? That didn't show up there, you know? And, of course, they did the same thing when he wrestles against Hardy. Mind you, it's kind of weird that it was two wrestlers that used to wrestle for the WWE.
Hogan, too.
Three wrestlers who wrestled for the WWE, who are now wrestling for TNA, their rival. Real interesting how they showed how dominating he was. Yeah, rewind a little bit. Yeah, see where he almost broke his frickin' neck.
All right. Let's move on to the selections now, as David Alter is the defending champ.
Actually, I got to make mention about something, too. Jimmy Corderas, you know, the former WWE referee, you know he's following me on Twitter?
He is
following me on Twitter. Good. I'll just let you know. I've got the celebs. I got the stars. They're following me. Not really a lot, just 1,000.
Oh, snap.
I am not one to ever do any of those, but you're just asking for with all these people.
Hey, you know what? It's not the amount, it's the quality of people who follow you. Oh, I should get that belt now. Yes. Yeah, look, your mommy following you every day doesn't count, all right? So just leave that one around.
Anyone's mom has that kind of effort. So, like, I don't know where you're going with that.
Oh, Jeff, I only wish you could be here live and in person watching this.
Yeah, DDP follows me on Twitter.
There you go. And Dana White.
And Dana White.
There you go.
Yeah, you see, you got me on that one, Dana White.
And Steve Urkel.
And Steve.
Slick.
Heidi Ho.
Does Slick follow you? I bet Slick follows Jeff on Twitter as well.
Oh, man.
If only. All right, let's get into the picks, and we'll start with you, David, and we'll start with the pre-show. I know we were talking about this before we started recording, but The Miz, where has he been for the last couple of weeks?
Here's the thing. It's hard to make a prediction based on a match that has zero buildup. There has been no feud brewing with The Miz and Santino Marella on any episodes of any kind. Maybe it's been on SmackDown and I haven't seen it.
No, there isn't.
There's nothing.
It was on WWE.com exclusive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah,
maybe
no, there's nothing.
They just announced it, even though you hadn't seen The Miz for weeks, and they need to do something, so this is what they put together. So I've got to say The Miz goes over only because The Miz has been asking Laurinaitis, and Laurinaitis says he's going to take care of him in some form of respect, and this is his way. And this becomes another movement of people power. If The Miz wins, this is going to be the hardest prediction to be accurate on, just because there's no build up. There's no storyline where you can even make an educated guess, even though it's fake outcomes. That's where I go with that.
Well, I mean, the Miz is on a win streak. I mean, the last time we saw him, I believe he won, and he also had the pin at WrestleMania. So he's on a bit of a roll.
Santino Marella hasn't right now lost either, except for the one time they made him lose to Otunga in a non-title match, and then when it was a title match, Marella won.
All right. There's my pick. I just want to get this straight before we continue with our picks. Now, are we just going to do picks just based on name? Just based on name?
Sure.
If you want to throw out an outcome, gonna pick a DQ. Man, but it's
just wait. You don't make the rules, man.
Well, I want to see.
I just
want to
make
agrees.
Sure we say this. No. You know what, man? I bench 300. Don't even get me started coming over there, my friend. All right. Okay, that's it. All there's right. A brick down over here right now I'm going to use.
All right, so we're just going to do straight up names from now on. Do not pick an outcome.
Where's that
just
brick?
Whoever wins is whoever wins.
He's holding up the door outside.
All right,
I just want people to know, there is a brick right here. Okay.
All right, while the two beat themselves senseless, Jeff, who do you got in this match, Santino or The Miz?
You know what? I used to hate Santino, but now whenever I see him, I just get happy. His power walk
get
to the
happy?
Ring is amazing. It's just, I just get put in a good mood whenever he does that power walk to the ring. It's hilarious. So I got to pick Santino because I just watch him and I just laugh. So I'll pick Santino to win.
Rudy.
Miz, got to be, and I'm saying that only because the U.S. title needs some legitimacy and it doesn't have it right now. So I'm going by the heart. I want to see Miz win just so that it could have some kind of respect, because the fact that it's not on the actual pay-per-view card that we can see, I think it's a crime. But again, it's just Vince McMahon showing how much he doesn't respect anything from former WCW/NWA.
I'm going with The Miz as well. I think Santino's over enough that if he doesn't have the belt, he'll just be fine. He's had his couple of months run now, and I think they want to get Miz, get him back to respectability here. They don't want him just, you know, wavering on that bottom of the card. So, I mean, I understand it's on the pre-show, but giving him the belt gives him some legitimacy once
Here's
again.
Here's my other motivation, or WWE's motivation for changing the belts on that. They're really trying to push that YouTube and get the numbers up. I think you build that atmosphere and get people going if they hear that a title's changed.
That's good. Actually, I can agree with that.
I think if there's any reason, that's probably it.
All right, off to the Randy Orton versus Kane match.
Have you
written
this stuff down?
About it. I'm writing this down.
Okay, just checking.
Randy Orton versus Kane. Falls count anywhere.
Who cares?
In this match, so maybe they'll pin each other in a meat locker.
Yes.
Let's start with you, Jeff.
Gosh. I'll go with Kane just because Paul Bearer needs that revenge aspect and he needs to be thought out. But this is another one of these matches I just don't care about. This whole feud, I can't be interested in it. So hopefully this is the end of it, and I'll get, I don't know, Kane to win, and yeah, in a freezer.
Rudy.
Got to go with Randy Orton, only because when you start beating up on parents like that, and let's face it, it was his dad who got beat up first, so I'm going to go over and give it to Randy Orton, and especially because, hey, he lost at WrestleMania. You got to give him something else at a pay-per-view. So not just on a TV show like Raw or SmackDown. It's got to be a pay-per-view. So I'm going to give it over to Orton.
David Alter.
I got to say Randy Orton for the same reasons that Rudy Blair pointed out.
Uh-oh.
You're really afraid of the brick, aren't you? Huh?
No. You know what? Normally, part of me wants to say Kane only because Kane got the last laugh on the last Raw, I guess.
Your scientific
Randy
equation?
Orton, sort of did, but then Kane threw his own dad in to show it didn't really matter to him. So I think you gotta go with Randy Orton. And again, whenever you see those rematches that a month in the pay-per-view following WrestleMania, it tends to go the other way. So for that alone, I think you gotta go with Randy Orton. You can't bury him twice to Kane. What's that say about Randy Orton? No disrespect to Kane, but Kane is being used as a person to either build or bury, and I can't see that happening twice in a row.
I agree with you guys. I'm going around Randy Orton with this selection. The Big Show and Cody Rhodes will have their rematch for the Intercontinental Championship. At the moment, it is undecided as what will be the stipulation for this bout. But Big Show, of course, is the champion. Now, Rudy, since you said you don't care, we'll start with
you. You know what? And here's the thing that's going to suck, because I got to say Cody Rhodes only because it seems that having the Big Show going after the title seems to be more exciting than the Big Show having the title. And, you know, Cody Rhodes sucks as a wrestler, but as a guy who's poking the bear, he's very good at that. So I would probably want to see more of that. In fact, I'd like to see the title go back and forth a little bit on them, and then they can finally decide who should have it. So I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes only on that.
Dave?
Cody Rhodes, for the sole reason that the Intercontinental title on Big Show for longer than a month makes zero sense whatsoever. Fine, you gave him the respect to give him a WrestleMania win, but you're not building that title. That's supposed to be an up-and-comer's title, and Big Show is way beyond his prime and above that belt right now.
The Workers' title. That was always known as the Workers' title.
I don't see why he has that title, and I hope that reign ends soon. Out of pure respect to Big Show, I think he's above it.
Jeff.
This entire feud confuses me because I think that they're in the wrong roles. I feel like the Big Show should be the big heel and Cody Rhodes is the underdog chasing after the title. I don't understand this feud with Big Show being the face and Cody Rhodes being the heel. In my opinion, it should be the other way around.
Agree.
Versus Goliath, the Goliath story. So I don't have a vested interest in this. Also, Cody Rhodes, whenever I see him, I mean, the guy is cut. He's shredded, but he just looks so small. He's scrawny to me, and I just don't see him as a top-level guy. So, I mean, I'll go with Big Show because, you know, in a realistic world, if we're supposed to believe that wrestling's real, he would cream Cody Rhodes, especially in a babyface role. So I'll go with the Big Show to win, even though he probably shouldn't be the champion.
I'm agree with Dave on this one. I don't think the Big Show, having him, you know, go on an extended title run right now is a good choice. I mean, Cody Rhodes last year, we saw him start to get a little bit over. We know at Madison Square Garden when they were there one time, you know, the fans were really big on him. And he is an up-and-coming guy. I mean, you know, Jeff mentioned that he's kind of scrawny. Rudy just doesn't like him, period. But people, you know, like to think of him. He's got the pedigree, of course, with his papa and his stepbrother. But I think Cody Rhodes pulls out the win. He gets the belt back, and then he goes on another extended run here. Let's move off to the 2 out of 3 falls match between Sheamus, the World Heavyweight Champion, and yes, Daniel Bryan. We'll start with his number one fan, David Alter.
Daniel Bryan easily in this I don't see any other outcome. I really don't. I think it happens in 3 falls. I think we see all 3 falls.
Have any of these matches ever ended in 2 falls?
That's not an outcome, though. So if it happens in 2 falls, I'm not wrong.
Right. But I'm just saying, have any of these matches ever ended in 2 falls? They always go to 3.
No, there's always 3. Always 3. Any one that I've ever seen, it's always been 3.
All right. Well, so in 3, I think it's going to be Daniel Bryan. He's just way too over, and of course, there's always that feeling that they want to build Sheamus more because now fans are starting to boo him if you keep the title and you keep him relevant. So there's a reason to not have Daniel Bryan win it, but I don't see Daniel Bryan and losing this match, especially with how over he is right now.
Jeff.
They have to be really careful that this yes thing doesn't get too old too quickly from Daniel Bryan because he's saying it a lot. Like, when I saw him on Raw, he was saying it almost the entire segment that he was on. They got to be careful that, you know, it doesn't get old and fans don't start turning on it and getting off the bandwagon like it's being overused. I do think that Daniel Bryan deserves to go over, but that being said, I'll play devil's advocate and take Sheamus because WWE booking is confusing me lately.
Rudy.
Daniel Bryan, and here's why. Daniel Bryan is a wrestler. This is 2 out of 3 fall match. These kind of matches are for wrestlers, chain wrestlers, good wrestlers. Sheamus, right now, with the belt, nobody wants to see him with the belt. And he's getting booed, and it's not working for him. Even if he went on to go fight somebody else, it's not working for him. And I'm sorry, I've said this for the longest time about Sheamus. Sheamus, as a face, doesn't work. Sheamus... Exactly. Sheamus as a monster, yeah, let him tear through. Now, if he was a monster with the belt, I'd say let him keep it. But other than that, though, no, let it go. Let it go back. Yes.
See, I agree with Jeff because this match really, you know, perturbs me because Sheamus picks up the win at WrestleMania. So your first thought is, okay, Daniel Bryan should be able to pick up the win here and how over he is. But, I mean... I feel like the more Sheamus, if Sheamus wins in this one, maybe there is a role reversal. Maybe Daniel Bryan turns face. Sheamus does turn heel.
No, you can't do that. No, absolutely not. No, he is fantastic as a face. I mean, as a heel. No, you leave him as a heel. Come on, he's kicking his girlfriend out of the ring and everything else. I mean, let's face it. This is a guy. If you looked at him, you wouldn't even think he's a wrestler. He shouldn't be having the kind of girlfriend that he had. The guy's got everything every wuss would ever want. And the best part is, he's saying, "Screw you guys. I don't need it anymore. I'm that good." You leave him the way he is. Don't turn him.
And the other thing that bothers me is the fact that, you know, Sheamus won the Royal Rumble. He won at WrestleMania. They're going to take the title off of him this quickly. That's the other part.
Yeah, but we're in an era, though, that where champions don't hold on to titles for very long. I mean, yeah, the Intercontinental title maybe was held for a while, but in this day and age, and Edge has actually said this in the DVD when you go and pick that up.
He actually says...
that in this era, we don't go back to the old NWA days where guys held the title 2-3 years, even with the WWE/WWF where they held it for 4 or 5 years. Now, titles change fast because that's the way the audience looks at the champions. They get tired of them real quick, and they want to see what somebody else is
going
to do.
I just feel like this is too quick of a title change, as big as Daniel Bryan is. I'm going with Jeff. I'm going with Sheamus. That's my pick. It just feels like Daniel Bryan's too easy of a pick. Like, he's just such an overwhelming favorite in this matchup. I feel like the smart money is on Sheamus.
Can I ask you a question? Are we so far, like, agreeing with each other? Because this ain't good, man. Yeah, we have to differ on something soon.
Yeah, you guys have the exact same pick.
Okay, this isn't good,
so
man.
I know we're differing on the next one.
Okay, what's the next one?
The next one is CM Punk versus Chris Jericho in the Chicago street fight for the WWE Championship. Dave?
Okay, wait. Hold on here. Can I get that pen over there? Okay, because I'm going to write it down just to make sure that nobody thinks I'm trying to copy you or anything like that. All right, go ahead, man. Hold on.
All right.
Okay, I know.
Hold on.
All right.
I'm actually going to go with Chris Jericho on this one.
Okay.
And I'm saying Chris Jericho because I don't see Jericho coming back, even though he may leave soon, just to be buried and that's it, even though that was the history of whenever he would come back. At some point in every return, he had some sort of title, and I can see him dropping that to Cena at the other pay-per-view, and then Cena or whatever, or CM Punk again, and then the actual programs with Brock go forward after that, because there's still a lot of time to kill before SummerSlam, so... Whether it's a short reign, maybe it's a one-day reign where he drops it right back the next night on Raw. We've seen that before. I think Jericho goes over in there.
Jeff?
I got to go CM. But first of all, what's the Chicago street fight? How does that differ from...
That's what I asked.
Toronto street fight, any of these ones?
Montmont, Illinois street fight.
There you go.
They should just fight at Wrigley Field. Boiler room match at Wrigley Field.
I got to go with CM Punk because, you know, they're doing the whole your daddy was a drunk storyline that's very uncomfortable. So he's got to get sort of, you know, the last laugh type thing. So I pick CM Punk to win this one.
Rudy, for that matter, yeah, he wrote down CM Punk as well. So he did differ with Dave.
Yes, finally. And here's the reason why. Like I keep saying over and over again, Chris Jericho coming back has come back like an old man. There is no reason why he should have the belt. And if he got the belt, what's he going to do with it? Honestly, I think it would bore the hell out of me. I think it would bore the hell out of the fans. The fans are not invested in this no matter what they do. And if one of the worst things that they can do, and this is, again, just my opinion, is try to drive this down people's throats. We don't want it. We don't need it. It's not going to happen. Giving them the belt is not going to make a difference to me. Yeah.
I don't think anyone invests in that kind of jacket without putting it on. Even if it's one day, that's why he might win it and in true crybaby fashion lose it in a small package the next day on Raw.
See, here's the thing. The only way I would have agreed with this, if we had a Money in the Bank already done, then I would have agreed that he would have won because whoever had the Money in the Bank would have probably picked up the title away from him.
We don't, because that would really mess up the predictions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know what? We should do that. Once we do have a Money in a Bank winner, we should pick and see who do you think is going to take away that title from who. Maybe that could come up.
Yeah, we'll definitely cross that bridge once we get to it. I'm going with CM Punk. I think for this feud to finally end, he has to pick up the win. Hometown, family and friends in attendance. I think that's how it works in Chicago. So my selection is CM Punk. All right, off to the Extreme Rules match on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view card. It's Brock Lesnar, John Cena. We'll start with you, Rudy.
Cena. I'm going with Cena. And the reason why I'm going with Cena is, yeah, I know they're supposed to be building up Brock, but I think Cena's going to take this match. It, you know, whether it be pinfall or disqualification, that I have no idea. I just think he's going to win, but it's going to be he wins the match, but he doesn't win the war. It's going to be one of those things. In other words, yeah, he is going to pick up the win, but he's going to take probably one of the worst beatings ever, where the point where Brock is going to be there, yeah, I lost, but so what? Take a look at what he looks like right now kind of thing.
Jeff.
I'm marking out huge for Brock Lesnar right now. I think that, you know, for all the reasons that I mentioned that, you know, Jericho doesn't beat CM Punk, I think is the opposite for Brock Lesnar. I don't think that they can bring him back and have him lose right away. I really, really believe that they need to make him just this monster that tears through the entire company. So, I mean, I'm not going to say a squash match, but I really think Brock Lesnar wins this match. The Extreme Rules match, I couldn't think of two more extreme wrestlers than Brock Lesnar and John Cena.
Yeah, I'm on record as saying I think it's the year that John Cena gets absolutely squashed in every single match. So I'm picking Brock Lesnar. We'll leave the final selection to the defending champ, David Alter.
Why do you keep calling him the defending champ?
Because he's the defending champ.
He is not. The defending champ is the one on the phone. I will stick up for him. Yes.
Thank you, Rudy.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, Alter.
You know what? I think you and I, our tag team, is just about done. If you're going to be sticking up for him, man.
Okay, well, it's definitely going to be me throwing you through the barbershop window. Oh! It's not going to be the other way around.
All folks, right. I have the brick in my hand, just so you know.
All right, so I guess our program is done, Rudy. I'm going to... All right, okay, so... Yeah, I agree with Rudy, as much as it pains me to say.
Yes!
I mentioned it earlier in the podcast that I think that John Cena is going to win for some strange reason that I don't think they want to bury him completely. I think they're starting that beginning of the turn, but not only that, I don't see how they're going to, unless they really have elaborate plans, unless the WWE decides to impress me and make a whole new stage that has like a Brock Lesnar marquee on it, which they might do, and show him coming off a plane, on a private plane with the WWE logo.
Well, he had his own video game. Remember that SmackDown one? Here Comes the Pain. He was on the cover of it. So.
Yeah, by the way, do you think he's going to wrestle without the shirt so we can see if he's still got that gut going or not?
He looks like he's been hitting the gym.
No, but you know what? No, but also I heard that he's the only WWE wrestler ever to allow his own advertisements on the shirt.
Yeah, Jimmy John's sandwiches. Yeah.
Which was one of the deal breakers and why... Again, we're talking about Brock Lesnar breaking all the rules that WWE used to ever have. But anyway, John Cena wins this, and then they build with something better than that, and Brock Lesnar unleashes his fury and probably injures him or something the next time.
All right, there you go. We have our picks. We've all made different ones, so we won't have to worry about having any tiebreakers.
No, well, we can still have a tie. It's still possible.
That's still possible, actually. Yeah.
And then I arm wrestle.
No.
Why not? Because you know who's going to win.
All right, like we did for WrestleMania.
I think we should arm wrestle.
We pick how long you think the main event match will go. Closer. Yeah, closer. Closest to the number without being over. Closest to
no, you know, if we're going to do this, you pick first because you tried to screw with us the last time.
What did I do last time?
Yeah, remember I picked a number and then you picked, like, it was like a minute ahead or something like that? No. Yes, you did.
Okay, all right.
Come on, man.
But I'm the champion. All right.
You are not the champion.
I go last.
All right, Jeff.
He is not the champion.
Okay, what
I
do you want
make
me to
this
do,
clear.
Rudy?
He is not the champion. The champion is on the phone right now, and I'm sticking up for him.
Rudy's screaming at me and looking at me like I need to do something.
Something going to happen here today.
All right, Jeff, we'll start with you. What do you got?
Champ. Champ.
Let's do 21 minutes, but I think we should also do how long we think the Funkasaurus segment will go as well.
Oh, God.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, but he'll be there somehow.
All right, Rudy.
Actually, I'm taking, I like the 29-minute mark.
You're going to go long on this.
Yeah.
One. All right. I think it's going to be not that long. I'll say 17 minutes. I don't know how much Brock has in the tank. And these are two big guys, and it's going to be a lot of clubbing each other probably. But I think they're going to get it over with pretty quickly. David.
I'll go fair here, and I'll pick 1 minute so that I have the layer range of lower than 17 and I'm not one up on the layer.
So you think it's going to be over very quickly, like a 15-minute match?
He's playing.
That's basically what you're
17,
thinking.
17, I lose.
Right, of course.
So you're going to lose, man.
All right, so Dave Wensko's Price
is
Right.
Yeah, you're losing.
With the one-minute
match. When this podcast
match.
Is over, you will lose. Where's my brick?
All right. Extreme Rules leads into our random wrestling question of the week, and that is, gentlemen, what is your favorite extreme match? Doesn't have to be from Extreme Rules, just hardcore match or Hell in the Cell. First Blood, Inferno match, barbed wire match. We'll start with you, Rudy.
You know, I got to honestly, I mean, everybody knows, and I know, Jeff, I know what you're going to say, so I'm going to leave that one with you. But I remember, honestly, back in the day, you remember Scarfold matches when they used to have those? I remember the first time seeing that and seeing, of course, it was the Road Warriors versus, the Midnight Express. First time I had a chance to see that, and I thought that was just freaking wild that they would have those guys up there. And of course, when you had a chance to talk to the wrestlers, finding out how scared they were to be involved in something like that. So for me, back in those days when those kind of matches were going on, I thought they were fantastic.
Jeff.
Didn't Jim Cornette blow out his knees falling from the scaffold once? I think he was dangling and then dropped, and I think the big boss man was supposed to catch him, and he didn't, and ended up blowing out both his knees or something major happened.
When he was supposed to be Bubba Rogers, his bodyguard, and to this day, he cannot walk properly, and he still feels pain in that knee.
Yeah, my favorite... Oh, boy. I mean, I was always a fan of anything Sabu used to do in ECW, sort of his barbed wire tables type stuff. But if I'm going back to my favorite sort of extreme memory, it was probably the dog collar. Rudy will love this. The dog collar match between Roddy Piper and Greg the Hammer Valentine. Because that was, you know, for its time, that was brutal. I mean, they were wrapping the chain around their face and, you know, Roddy Piper's ear was bleeding. They really played up the fact that, you know, Greg Valentine popped his eardrum and his balance was all shot. So, I mean, that's just a cool memory for me as far as extreme matches go. But, you know, I just thought Sabu was just so intriguing when I was, you know, in the mid to the late 90s, because he just looked so interesting. He had scars all over his body, and he had such a mystique, and, you know, he would never talk, and he would always put his body on the line. So I was always a Sabu fan for anything he would do with the tables and the barbed wire. So those are my two sort of best memories.
David.
Hey. I'm going to go a little bit more recent generation here.
Yeah, go ahead, kid.
One of my favorites. Thank you. One of my favorites is... It's going to be really off the board just because he wasn't seen as an extreme wrestler, but Shane O'Mac versus Kurt Angle was one of my favorite matches ever, because there was a spot in that match where Kurt Angle was supposed to suplex Shane O'Mac through a pane of glass.
And you picked the wrong one.
Not once. No, it was the same one. Not once, but twice it didn't break.
Yeah.
And both times, Shane O'Mac lands right on his head. Both times, I was cringing, and I thought, for sure, he's paralyzed. I thought, for sure. There's no, and Kurt Angle does not want to keep putting him through after the first time fails. He's like, no, do it again, do it again, do it again. That was something else. It was not planned, but it was unbelievable. Those two misfires there, and for them to keep going through, one of my favorites ever.
Sir, before you give yours, I want to throw in one more that I remembered as a kid watching, because I was a big fan of Pacific Coast Wrestling, and I kind of mentioned the match before that I said I would love to have been in, the coal miners match between Dutch Savage versus Jimmy Snuka. Now, if you don't know what a coal miner match is, it's this glove that's got all this metal, it's really heavy, and it's on a pole, and the guys have to wrestle to get to this pole, climb up, put this glove on, and then you can bloody the other guy. This was probably one of the bloodiest matches I had ever seen. And Dutch Savage, back in those days, was one of those kind of wrestlers where you threw him in anything, it didn't matter, he would go after. He was huge in Japan. He was huge in that area, too. And, of course, it was an up-and-coming Jimmy Snuka who, because of those matches, became the kind of wrestler he became today.
Jeff, you were going to say something?
I was just to David's point about the Shane O'Mac thing. That clip was used in the WWE's "Don't Try This at Home" video. So that's just how brutal that was, where Shane just wouldn't go through the glass and kept landing on his head.
And Shane's had some crazy spots over the years, jumping off, you know, scaffolding, jumping off the top rope onto the announcer tables.
RVD's moves.
And he actually connected. I think he earned a lot of respect there, because there's no way he's going to do it.
Yeah,
he did,
yeah.
And he connected.
Yeah, on his dad, on Vince McMahon. Obviously, I mean, you got to think of the Undertaker, Mankind, Hell in a Cell match. That's up there, and a lot of hardcore matches, barbed wire matches with Cactus Jack and Terry Funk, of course, all over the world. But the one that always stands out to me, and I have it on VHS, I remember going to Zeller's as like a little kid with my parents, and I was hello, Zeller's. So I was looking through like the bargain bin, looking at VHS tapes, and in there I see War Games, and I'm like,
I have that one,
and it's a yellow one, right?
Yeah, I have that,
and I go, what the hell is War Games? So obviously, I probably wouldn't have said what the hell when I was 8 years old, but what the heck
yes,
is War
you
Games?
Did.
So I pick it up, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I know WWE, and I'm like, oh, cool, Ric Flair. I know who that is. So I go home and watch it. And for those who don't know what War Games is, I mean, it's the one where the two cages are encased around a ring. They're connected. And it's basically, two guys start the match, and then every 30 seconds there's a coin toss. Or not every 30 seconds, every 5 minutes there's a coin toss, and then whichever team wins the coin toss gets to send another guy in. And it's like Dusty Rhodes, Road Warriors, all the Four Horsemen, basically. Paul Ellering was in it, and this one guy called War Machine. But they wrestled.
But he was a fill-in because what happened to J.J. Dillon, because J.J. Dillon
right.
got injured.
He
in
got
the
hurt
first,
in one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was...
No.
So this was, I believe the videotape is, it's War Games 2 then, I guess, technically. So, I mean, they used to do this all over the country in the territories. So anyways, in this one, in the videotape, the one part I remember the most. So War Machine ends up playing a big factor because he's in it there at the end. And the only way you can win, somebody has to give up. You can't pin anybody. Somebody has to submit from just being bludgeoned to death. Of course, Ric Flair is busted wide open, getting his face rubbed on the cage like he always does. It was always great because his hair would like flutter into the cage. So it looked it would look almost as if like a piece of skin's like hanging off his forehead. But the way this match ended, Paul Ellering had a spiked like wristband, and he ends up using it, gouging the eye of War Machine. War Machine is this guy wearing this costume, and he's wearing this mask, so you can't see. But you just see Paul Ellering just driving the spike into the guy's eye. Obviously, it wasn't like the spike into his eye. But I remember watching this as a kid saying, how is this possible? Like, this guy's eye is gone. Paul Ellering's just driving this thing into the eye. Hawk comes over. He grabs it. He starts spiking him in the eye. And I'm like, this is the most gory match I think I've ever seen in my life. So for me, anyways, that's what stands out as the most extreme match.
I'll give you a little quick info, though. I don't know who the wrestler was for War Machine, but he was, of course, a substitute. That mask he was wearing was actually Dusty Rhodes, because Dusty Rhodes at one point wrestled as the Midnight Rider in Florida. So that was his mask and his outfit that this guy was wearing. And also that whole thing was actually, that's where the Royal Rumble was ripped off. I mean, they started it first, and then McMahon came up with the Royal Rumble. So that whole countdown and everything else, War Games was the beginning, and that's where Royal Rumble came from.
Of course, Bischoff referenced War Games as an influence when they introduced the elimination.
Exactly. Yeah. No, if you ever, for folks who are listening to this, if you ever get a chance to see the original, as you talked about, War Games with the Four Horsemen, it is classic wrestling stuff.
And another War Games that stands out, I forget which one it was. It was when the NWO was, you know, riding high in WCW, and it was the Four Horsemen wrestling against them as well. If somebody can kind of tell me what happened, I just remember Ric Flair, he ends up submitting
door,
because
right?
they slam his head in the cage, yeah. in between the cage, and I remember going, that's the craziest thing ever.
That was the one where Mr. Perfect, who was supposed to be on his team, turns on him.
Right.
And that's where he gets the door slammed on his head, too. So, great card for that one.
He was supposed to take, I believe, Arn Anderson's spot
yes.
for Horseman, right? Because Anderson was retiring.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm a big fan of the ridiculousness, so I got a couple that just came to my mind. Rudy, you'll love this. Remember the Chamber of Horrors where Abdullah the
Butcher
was electrocuted?
God.
Yeah.
Tell that
Fantastic.
One. Tell that one.
Another one of my favorites was when Norman Smiley went hardcore. Screaming Norman Smiley, remember that?
Yep.
In late WCW, every time he'd get hit, he'd scream. He's like, ow, ow.
He'd have either the football or the hockey equipment on?
Yeah, absolutely. And just on a side note, it has nothing to do with hardcore wrestling, but I'm just surfing WWE.com right now. Virgil's profile page, 7 Facebook likes.
Wow.
7.
That's
wow.
I'll be honest, that's probably 6 more than I thought he would have had. Because the one, of course, you know it's going to be Virgil.
Yeah. He's probably there, too.
Yeah, that's true. So he's got 5.
Hey, and by the way, too, just so you guys know, during this podcast, I picked up about 4 more followers.
Oh, no.
This is incredible.
Oh,
I love this. This is really good.
I can't believe that's how we're going to have to end this podcast.
That's what happens when you're a Hall of Famer.
But that's how this comes to a close. You can follow us on Twitter at Top Turnbuckle. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes now. People, we're on iTunes. And, of course, you can check us every week on Sportsnet590.ca on the Top Turnbuckle blog. For David Alter, Rudy Blair, Jeffrey Holman, I'm Rob Wong. Thanks for listening to Top Turnbuckle.